Next on BYUSN, bring on Big Noon Kickoff. Fox National coming to Provo to cast a nationwide spotlight on a Big Cat showdown. Hey, the Cougars making a case as the biggest cat in the Big 12. Plus, we recap a wild weekend of college football and discuss which results help BYU the most.
It's another Mattich Monday with ESPN's Trevor Mattich. We'll get him to break down Saturday's matchup with Arizona. And Lexi Halliday-Lowry of Women's Cross Country joins us to give us an update on the fifth-ranked Cougars so far this season.
Welcome to BYU Sports Station, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It's another winning Monday, thanks to Lexi and others. October 7th it is. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who is still enjoying BYU's perfect, unblemished 5-0 mark, Jason Shepherd.
Let me tell you, there's something about when your team is not just undefeated, because you could be undefeated and there could still be, you know, like you're undefeated and playing well and you're just feeling good, right? It's just a positive vibe. And then you get to sit back and watch all these other teams go through the ups and downs of a game and realize that you don't have to worry about it, at least that day.
Not on the bye week.
Your time will come the next week when all the stress comes back. But for one weekend, and we actually get two byes this week, or this season, so it was just very, very nice to not be one of the teams that were in turmoil with the upsets, which brings us to a tweet or a post from Tom Fornelli. It says, shout out to everybody whose team was smart enough to take week six off. And how about that? You talk about a crazy weekend of college football.
Five of the top 11 go down.
Oh, my goodness.
Including Alabama to Vanderbilt.
No. Let me tell you.
Sorry, what?
You could have tried to pick upsets, and you would not have picked that one. You could have picked so many other upsets, but you would not have picked that specific one.
We should have known that when Houston, as a 16.5-point underdog in Fort Worth, beat TCU, that the weekend was just primed
for
carnage. I believe the quote is, Jason, beware the Ides of October, right?
Yes, I believe that is exactly what it is.
I may be taking some liberties with that, but my goodness, what a weekend. We'll discuss the ramifications of the weekend, how it impacts BYU, among other things, as we rise and shout and get to what's trending. 5-0, BYU has three Power Four wins.
You look at the way that they're playing, I think it's just exciting. Big contender in the Big 12, you have to consider them that right now.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. True story. I was at a wedding over the weekend, and you better believe I was checking my phone constantly for score updates and had YouTube TV streaming a little bit, Jason, because of all of the chaos.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I was that guy. And I probably upset a few people, but shout out to the Burton family, big BYU fans who are like, hey, what's the score?
Hey, you don't need to apologize for following the sports.
Listen, they're all concerned like I am about what's happening around BYU while the Cougars are 5-0 and on their bye week. So with all that chaos took place this last weekend, the Cougars, they take advantage to a degree and become even a bigger deal in the national landscape of college football. Today, we're going to present several statements that are centered in national recognition for BYU football and discuss if they are indeed a big deal or not, beginning with this. Eyes wide open, people. Fox's national pregame show, Big Noon Kickoff, is coming to Provo for Saturday's afternoon kick against Arizona. Jason, I'm not sure how this would be anything but a big deal, but I'm going to ask a question anyway.
Yeah.
Is this a big deal or no deal?
Of course it is. Big is in the name of the show.
Yes.
It is the Big Noon Kickoff. Now, while this game does not kick off at noon, it's a major, because they only go to one. It's not like they go to one and then they pick it up, you know, pack it up, move on to the next one or do one later. No, there's one. It's Fox's version of College Game Day. That's what they do. And so for this game and for it to specifically be in Provo, that they picked that, it is a massive deal that BYU and Arizona are going to be able to be showcased that way, and certainly Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
You get the A crew, you get Gus Johnson, you get Joel Klatt, Jenny Taft, and then you get the panel, obviously 3-hour pregame show beginning at 7 a.m. I'm sure the BYU fans and The Rock will show up and be rowdy. The Rowdy Rock has every reason to be rowdy right now. Yes, this is a huge deal. Huge deal. I'm going to take it one step bigger. This is the huge noon kickoff. Okay. I love it. I love that BYU has earned the right to be in this position. Now, everyone is going to at some point this week say, now I would caution you to not buy into the poison of the national hype. Has BYU not proven over the past 2.5 weeks that they clearly are just dialed in to the next game, the next opponent?
This is for the fans anyway. The fans can buy into this all they want. The team has proven already that they're not buying into any of that.
Oh, Spencer,
stuff.
They beat SMU. Wyoming's a trap game. No, it wasn't. Oh, Spencer, Kansas State's on another level. Look, BYU's 3-0 is fraudulent. No, it wasn't. Oh, how do you overcome the emotional hangover of beating Kansas State the way you did? And you got to go on the road. You can't win afternoon games. And they did that too, Jason. So I'm not about to start thinking like, oh, well, now they drink the poison. Yeah. And now they're just going to decide not to play good football.
Look, the other subplot to this, and I'm sure I'm not the only one whose first thought when this was announced was, oh, guess who's coming back to Provo? Urban Meyer.
Yes.
Will be making a return trip to Provo.
And Matt Leinart, for that matter. Yeah, and Brady Quinn.
Yeah, like, so this is going to be fun. That's what this is all about. This is all about fun and excitement. It's an opportunity for the fans to show up, show their excitement, show their fandom on national television, and show their pride for BYU football. This is so cool that this game was picked for that.
Absolutely, this is a big deal. There's no way around it. And I believe this team is mature enough to handle the national spotlight. That's what I love most about this current BYU squad is they have proven to me, and as I just documented on multiple occasions, that they can handle the added spotlight.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. I also think that's probably going to be a major line of responses from BYU today during the Monday press conference around noon. That, look, we haven't done anything yet. We're going out there. We're going to play this game. Like, I just love the mentality this team's playing
statement
with right now.
Statement number six. They want to make statement number six.
Yes, there you go. All right, BYU, despite not playing, moved up three spots in the AP poll. They went from number 17 to now ranked number 14 in the country and still the second highest ranked Big 12 team. Iowa State ranked ahead of them, but BYU the second highest in the Big 12. Is this a big deal or no deal?
We can't diminish that BYU is a top 15 team in early October when BYU was projected to win 4.5 games all season long. They've already crushed the over there, and they've got an opportunity to get bowl eligible. That said, I believe BYU as a team and as a unit, they don't really think that this is a big deal that they jumped three spots. I legitimately believe that the team is looking at the national ranking as, it's nice, you know, it's nice validation, but they're concerned about Arizona. So while you and I love it, and we think this is a big deal to be a top 15 team, amazing. Nobody thought this would be the case.
Yeah.
Even if BYU were 5-0, did we think they would be a top 15 team?
Nobody thought this team was going to be ranked this year.
At any point this season.
No, just being ranked.
So it is a big deal to you and me and the fans. I genuinely believe that the team is like, well, if we lose to Arizona, then what is it for?
Right.
What is it for?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And so, again, the maturity coming in here. So it's funny. Like, for me, yes, this is a big deal. It's fun. It's awesome that BYU has a legitimate shot. If they beat Arizona and they hold serve against Oklahoma State, there's a legit shot BYU could be a top 10 team going to Orlando. Which just sounds ridiculous, does it not? A legitimate shot. They could be a top 10 team if they win the next few games. I know, huge if.
Yes, they're not worrying about anything past Saturday. But, yes, it's a big deal for all the reasons that you just mentioned. And, look, I'm not talking about anything that was inside the football offices or within that team. I'm talking only outside expectations. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody.
Yes.
Nobody expected this team to be ranked at any point this year. So not only are they ranked and undefeated at 5-0, but now pushing themselves up the rankings and have an opportunity to continue that move up the rankings into a possible top 10, depending on how things shake out. You have another crazy weekend, like what we saw with teams ahead of BYU losing, and BYU continues to win. You could make it a bigger leap than what we maybe even anticipate.
Jason, this ranking is merited. This isn't 1 or 2 weeks into the season. We're almost halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And we now feel like we have an understanding of what most teams are halfway through the season. That's not to say that the game can't still be fickle and sometimes you don't get any of the fortuitous bounces and things just don't go your way on a given Saturday. But 5 games in, like this team is legitimate. This BYU team, and I mean, we'll talk about it with Trevor Maddich. This is the only team in the nation. This from @Cody_Kellner. The only team in the nation in BYU with a 2-0 record against teams that are currently ranked in the top 25. They have beaten Kansas State. They have beaten SMU. Both of those teams are still ranked.
And that win against SMU continues to look better and better.
Yes. So, again, that would also add to the argument that it's a big deal. This ranking is a big deal because
yes,
it feels legitimized.
Yes. And like you said, we can enjoy this. We can talk about this. We can geek out on all of this from a fan side of it. Players, they're not worrying about this. Their focus is the Arizona Wildcats, and I love it.
They have bigger fish to fry.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Bigger, or bigger cats to fry?
moving on.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. BYU currently, by the way, a 3.5-point favorite against Arizona.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I will not let you say this.
So they're a 3.5-point favorite underdog against Arizona.
Yes.
Right? Is that where we're going with
yes.
this?
Yes. I do not want – look, I realized they were favored in the season opener. I realized they were favored at Wyoming, and they obviously won both games. I don't want this team. This team plays so much better when they are counted out.
Yes,
I love it.
Yes.
So as far as I'm concerned, 3.5, this is no deal.
No, it's no deal.
It's no deal.
No deal.
Because it's not even true. It's fake news, okay?
It's no deal for me as well. Because BYU, have they cared about any of the projections or the odds makers' lines in the previous 5 games? BYU has absolutely destroyed the spread in all 5 games. So if they're a 3.5-point favorite, okay. BYU is beating the spread by an average of double figures. One of only 5 teams in the country that are 5-0 against these odds makers spreads. Why not make it 6-0? If you're beating the spread by an average of 10, why not beat Arizona by 12 or 14 or 17? Like this BYU team, trend-wise, based on these numbers, continues to just raise eyebrows for sure. So for me, this is no deal. Like, set the line, great, it's yeah. fine. We know Arizona can play.
Yes.
But it has not impacted BYU in any way, shape, or form. And as to your point, they have thrived as the underdog. So if you want to call a 3.5-point favorite disrespect or disservice at home, fine.
Yeah.
Buy into, lean into that. They still don't respect you.
That's right.
They still don't think that you are really that much better than Arizona, even though you're 5-0. Like, oh, I buy into that all the way. But the 3.5 line, I'm with you. No deal.
Okay. All right. Our next one, BYU, one of 12 remaining FBS teams that are undefeated. It's always fun to watch as the season continues. And you start, you know, crossing teams off and like, oh, or how many are still undefeated? Well, there's 12, and BYU is one of them at 5-0. Big deal or no deal?
Yes. I know we sound overkill right here, but yes, this too is a big deal because of the quality of opponents that BYU has beaten through their 5-0 run. I look at some of the other undefeated teams, like, okay, it's cool, but you don't have the strength of resume, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but a road win at SMU and then an absolute annihilation of then 13th-ranked Kansas State, and then you finally... I mean, you exercise the demons and you win at Baylor and you win an early kick and you win your first Big 12 road game. It's a big deal because of how BYU has gotten to 5-0 and what they have had to overcome in order to get there.
Yeah, this schedule has been, we talked about it so much heading into this season. Now, it's been a little different because a lot of the teams that were going in, we were saying BYU's facing, you know, 5 top Big 12 teams that are ranked, you know, facing all 5 of the ranked Big 12 teams. Well, some of those teams that were preseason ranked, the season has not played out like we expected it to. But K-State is still a very good team. And the fact that BYU was able to do to the Wildcats what it did that night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, I think just speaks to not just the 5-0, but the teams that they're doing it against, the situation, just exactly what you said. And look, if you're one of 12 teams in, it's not like you're still going off of a schedule that was an independent schedule. You actually did stretch yourself. And we talked about how some of us didn't like it in the non-conference. But BYU did, and it's paid off for them. Because not only did they win the games, but now a team like SMU is, you know, it's they're showing how good they really are. So, yeah, it's absolutely a big deal. If for no other reason, then you're just still one of the undefeated teams. You still have an opportunity to keep this going and keep that streak of being undefeated going.
Get to 3-0 in Big 12 play, get bowl eligible.
Bowl eligible in six games. I mean, it's on the table if they can win on Saturday.
I know that that adds maybe some outside pressure. But again, BYU knows what's at stake. They're daring to dream big within their own team meeting rooms and team circles. They'll let the fans fan, which is what is happening. Yes, being undefeated at this juncture of the season and being, according to some, the favorite to take the Big 12's auto bid in the college football playoff. I know, that feels like just straight, like straight poison, okay? What are those pills that that actors take in fictional shows where like they don't want to give away information? So
the cyanide.
Yes, I know. You all view this as like cyanide pills. Okay, it's not. BYU's focused on making the next statement. Arizona's a good team. I think BYU's a better team, Jason. They're a better team than Arizona, and they have 2 weeks to prepare for Arizona.
Yep.
And I think that will be advantageous.
You got to play like it, though.
Yes.
We all thought Utah was the far better team than Arizona. And we saw what happened 2 weeks ago in Salt Lake City. You got to make sure you're ready for this.
Yes. With Alabama's loss to Vanderbilt, which we have talked about on a couple of occasions early in the show, BYU currently has ESPN's, and this is not a joke, straight up fact, BYU has ESPN's number one strength of record. Heather Dinich put this out at CFB. Heather said, I also included BYU football in my projection this week prior to updated analytics. Here is a big reason why, which lines up with the past playoff teams, because the Cougars are number one, 5-0, unreal number one strength of record. Jason, is this somehow not a deal?
There's. I don't know how you look at this and say no deal. And look, you're starting to see a couple of other national writers putting BYU in their top 10 ahead of Iowa State, and it's for the reason given here, the strength of schedule and the record that they have based off of that schedule.
Who you played, who you beaten.
Yes. And not just maybe the opponent, but where. The fact that you beat SMU, but you beat them in Dallas. That adds a layer to the strength of schedule. So, yeah, this is absolutely a big deal. For them to be in the top 10 is a big deal. For them to be number one on the strength is crazy.
The parallels that BYU football is currently experiencing with what BYU basketball did.
Yes.
Is wild. BYU men's basketball was the number one team in net, right?
What were they preseason last year?
They were picked to finish 13th in the Big 12.
And what was BYU football?
They were picked to finish 13th.
So is that the
lucky number 13?
Is that the magic right there? just pick BYU 13.
Please.
Every year, can we just pencil us in at 13?
But the parallels are wild. And then BYU burst onto the scene. They jumped into the national rankings after an almost unblemished non-conference record in basketball. BYU football is doing with that core philosophy. The core is back. They went through hard times together. They're stronger. They're better. They're showing it. It's just unbelievable. I can't think of another word. It's unbelievable that we are here, yet it is happening, and the opportunity knocks to get to 6-0 against Arizona. Our question of the day, which of the following is the biggest deal for BYU football right now and why? Number one, Big Noon kickoff coming to Provo. Number two, BYU up to number 14 in the AP poll. Number three, BYU is one of 12 remaining unbeaten FBS teams. Or number four, BYU has ESPN's number one strength of record. Now, in the poll right now, the fourth option, BYU has ESPN's number one strength of record, is winning with a 37.5% clip of that vote.
Have you voted on this? What my answer was actually number three, that BYU's unbeaten. It's one of the because that sort of encompasses everything. It encompasses everything that you've won every game. So to me, that's how I voted.
Okay. I actually would probably lean toward number four as well, just because BYU's opponents, the opponents they have taken down, have proven to be really good.
Yeah.
That has not been the case with BYU teams that have gotten out to quick starts in recent memory. Like, it's like, well, yeah, they're undefeated, but who have you beaten? That, there's no argument for that this year.
Right.
Who have you beaten? Kansas State and at SMU.
Right.
Any questions? Gosh. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. All right, on to the next. On Friday, we went over our bye week rootables for the Cougars. So we need to recap quickly which games we specifically had our eye on and how they may have helped or hurt BYU. Beginning with the Big 12 games, we mentioned Houston over TCU. Well, TCU's now got two losses. I'm in favor of getting all Big 12 teams to two losses as soon as possible.
Yeah, just do it.
More chaos. Baylor got a quick start, but then lost to a really good Iowa State team. Iowa State impresses me. They look like a complete football team.
They're legit.
They are a complete football team.
Yep.
Like, they very well could be in the Big 12 championship game. They beat Baylor 43-21. What the heck happened to Oklahoma State?
I don't know. Ever since the Utah game, Oklahoma State has just not looked the same. And West Virginia went in there and took care of business.
West Virginia's 2-0 in Big 12 play. Oklahoma State 0-3. Yikes.
Yep.
And then Arizona State continues to be a surprise in conference. They beat Kansas. How many gut punch fashions in gut punch fashion can Kansas lose?
Yeah, right? Well, and it was back and forth. Neither defense was doing anything, but the offenses were unbelievable. I thought Kansas was going to get this one, but they just left too much time for Leavitt and the ASU offense.
UCF didn't look great against Florida. Maybe that game's more winnable for BYU in late October. Arizona, of course, lost to Texas Tech. They're coming to Provo. But the big shakeup, the reason why BYU jumped three spots in the national rankings is because there was so much carnage up above the Cougars, five of the top 11 losing.
That's right. Number 22, Louisville, falling to SMU.
Great for BYU.
Yeah, 34-27, SMU gets the win. Number 25, Texas A&M, 41 points over Missouri.
It was close.
It was not close.
41-10.
It was a drubbing from the gate. I have a lot of cousins that were really upset over the weekend because they're big Mizzou fans who live in the area. South Carolina. And number 12, Ole Miss.
So Ole Miss hold serve. That
yeah,
was
they
one
hold
we
serve.
Like,
that's the one that kind of played out. And then how about Washington knocking off number 10, Michigan, 27-17.
Well, then USC lost to Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, so many teams above you. Like, you can only move up when you're on a bye week, and those teams above you continue to lose. But, again, five of the top 11, four of those to unranked teams.
Nuts.
Let's not have that happen on Saturday.
No. Don't miss BYU Sports Nation game day before BYU hosts Arizona. You can watch it on Saturday at 2 Eastern on BYU TV.
After the break, another Maddich Monday as ESPN's Trevor Maddich previews the showdown with Arizona and what his message is to BYU with all of this added national hype. This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
BYU, this shouldn't be shocking. They are representing the conference at a very high rate. The more that you win, the better for the entire league.
He's got the first down. Pressure on him. He throws, intercepted. He's got the touchdown. Can you believe that?
I can't believe it. And I can believe that we are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jason Shepherd. And as we do every Monday during the college football season, we welcome the fabulous college football insider, analyst, and expert. He is a national champion. Trevor Maddich is back for another Maddich Monday. Trevor, how was your weekend with BYU on bye and all of the carnage across college football?
It was insane. I mean, five of the top 11 teams lost. Alabama, number one, lost not to Georgia. They lost to Vanderbilt, for goodness sake. It was absolutely crazy what happened. When you look at the way that Alabama lost to Vanderbilt, it wasn't that Bama just made a bunch of mistakes. They made a few. But Vanderbilt took advantage of every one of those mistakes, and then Alabama could not keep Vanderbilt's offense off of the field. The quarterback, Diego Pavia, transfer from New Mexico State, was a baller extraordinaire. Their first drive was a 10-play touchdown. Their second drive was a 17-play touchdown drive. Bama just had no answers for a mobile baller at quarterback, and it was an amazing thing to watch.
Was there anything else, Trevor, that happened this weekend that was a bigger surprise than that game, or is that the easy answer for the biggest surprise of the weekend?
You know, that to me is the biggest surprise, just because it was Vanderbilt, but Missouri comes in as a top 10 team, and they were absolutely obliterated by Texas A&M. And surprise, surprise, Texas A&M, I believe, is undefeated in the SEC. They are now a contender to make the SEC championship game, not just because of the record, but because of the way they've been playing. Miami, for the second week in a row, had a miracle comeback. You can say what you want about them falling behind so that they had to have a miracle comeback. But when it came down to it, Cam Ward, their quarterback, and the rest of that offense came alive, and it was just amazing to watch that. I know it broke the heart of a lot of Cal fans, but that was just incredible. Tennessee, the first time they were really tested was against Arkansas. Everybody else they played had holes in the roster or in their team. For example, Oklahoma's offense had epic injuries, and they weren't really able to keep up with Tennessee. But Arkansas was a grown man team. Arkansas hit Tennessee in the mouth and maybe exposed a little bit of their weaknesses. So there were so many revelations about teams that we thought were amazing that now all of a sudden we look at and say, okay, they're vulnerable. And that means the race for the conference championships and the race for the college football playoff just got far more fascinating.
Indeed, a perfect precursor to my next question for you, Trevor, which is, as you zoom in and look at the Big 12 with all of the parity that has existed there, in fact, all five teams that received first-place votes in the preseason coaches poll have a loss already in Big 12 play, and it's Texas Tech, BYU, Iowa State, Colorado, and West Virginia that are the unbeaten teams. I know it's early, but already some parity. What do you think of what's happening in the Big 12 as it pertains to getting into the college football playoff and the unexpected right now?
You know, we thought coming into the season that the Big 12 would be the most fun conference race because there was no clear dominant team. And there were as many as 9 teams picked by members of the media preseason that had a chance to win the conference. But who'd have thought those 5 would be the leaders right now at this point of the season? And the leaders, Kansas State, well, they lost to BYU. They still, I think, are the favorite to win the conference, but that was, to a lot of people, a shocking loss. Oklahoma State came in with a veteran offensive line, veteran quarterback, and an All-American running back in Ollie Gordon, and the offense has disappeared for Oklahoma State. Now, it might reemerge, but it's disappeared so far. That's a shock. And then Colorado, you know, they lost that game to Nebraska, but they've won some miracle games as well. They've clearly gotten better. And with their quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, and their all-purpose superstar, Travis Hunter, they've got skill to be able to keep up with anybody as long as they can give Shedeur time to throw. So, and BYU was projected to win, what, 4 or 5 games preseason? And all of a sudden, they're 5-0. And so that is also a shock to a whole lot of people. Coming into this last weekend, there were only 2 teams in the nation that had 3 wins over Power 4 conference opponents. One of those was Notre Dame, the other BYU. And 2 of those wins, SMU right now, is considered one of the favorites to get to the ACC championship game. They've only lost 1 game. Kansas State is considered a favorite to get to the Big 12 championship game. They've only lost 1 game. Those losses, BYU. Nobody else has beaten SMU or Kansas State. So BYU might be the biggest shocker of them all.
Yeah, and then consider this. In the wins against ranked opponents, currently ranked opponents, BYU's defense has given up a combined 0 touchdowns to Kansas State and SMU. Trevor, make it make sense. This is crazy.
Yeah, well, it makes sense because of the beauty of chaos, the joy of havoc. That's what BYU's defense is about. They have multiple schemes where they can go man coverage and then zone coverage the next time. And then zone coverage that looks one way, it turns out to be a different kind of zone coverage. They'll disguise it so it looks like one, it becomes another. The corners are so good at locking down that they're able to attack the line of scrimmage much more than they really could last year. And so the havoc at the line of scrimmage has been great. The defensive front is more multiple now. It's not just Tyler Batty getting double teamed and everybody else watching the show. Now you've got multiple guys on that defensive front that are pushing the pocket, that are winning one-on-one pass rush battles, that are causing problems, and that frees up Tyler Batty to cause problems as well. Not just sacks. It's not just about sacks. It's about making the quarterback uncomfortable. You put all this together, and if you're an offense, you get back on your heels and they just keep coming and coming and coming. It's like not just one fire hose, it's like three fire hose from three different directions at all times coming at you. That's what the BYU defense is.
We'll get to the specific matchup, Trevor, against Arizona, because I'm fascinated by this game coming up on Saturday. But BYU, a byproduct of beating Arizona on Saturday, would mean BYU picks up its sixth win and is officially bowl eligible. With all of the negativity from the outside looking in at this BYU team coming into the season, what would it mean for this team specifically? What is the significance of this team getting to bowl eligibility and six wins in game six if that happens?
It would be validation. I mean, this is going to be a tough win. I mean, if they're able to beat Arizona, it would be a quality win for BYU. This is not a gimme in any stretch. But considering what happened last year, you know, that losing streak at the end of the season when it looked so obvious they were going to make a bowl last season, getting that locked in, I think would be validation. And that validation is what the coaches have been talking to the players, what the team leadership have been saying to the other players in the locker room about: do the work, do the things we're asking you to do, believe that we're doing the right things, and it will pay off. And that's all vapor until you see it. But when you see it, then all of a sudden it becomes concrete. And keep this in mind, that BYU is in their second year of recruiting to a Power Four conference, or Power Five, a Power Conference. And that means that the guys that are there, the transfers that came in, the depth that was developed last year when they had so many injuries, everybody is learning how to compete in practice. The competition in practice is better. And all that put together, getting to bowl eligibility, validates everything that they've been doing. And when we have validation, the belief grows even more.
It's another Mattich Monday on BYU Sports Nation with Trevor Mattich of ESPN. I'm not sure what to make of Arizona after their performance at home against Texas Tech, and that following a shocking upset road win at Utah. So, Trevor, with that in mind, how does BYU stack up against an offense that certainly has some firepower but hasn't exactly, quote-unquote, hit on all cylinders in this or during the course of this season?
Arizona's offense is scary. They're still scary. When they do hit on all cylinders, they're tough to stop. And we know about Noah Fifita, their quarterback, and Tetaroa McMillan, one of the best receivers in the country. Those guys are hard to stop. One of the best QB wide receiver combinations in all of college football. McMillan, part of the reason he's so good is that he is so precise with his routes. He doesn't just run out there and out athlete everybody. He messes with defensive backs with stems and with different kinds of cuts and different kinds of disguises with what he's doing with his routes. He's so hard to cover. And then when the ball comes in, you know, he's got a big catch radius. But the rest of the problem is that three different running backs for Arizona right now are averaging over 6 yards per carry. They can rotate through a deep stable of running backs and make the run game the first thing you have to focus on. So you can't just, you know, pin your ears back and go after the quarterback and disrupt the quarterback. So that balance is what makes them so difficult to stop.
All right, let's flip the question then, Trevor. BYU's offense versus the Arizona defense. What do you make of that matchup, and what do you think the BYU offense can do against the Wildcats on defense?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. Apparently, L.J. Martin, running back, is going to be back. I don't know how healthy he will be. I don't know how close to 100%. But he will be critical, because Arizona's defense, if you can say there's a weakness, teams have been able to run the ball against them. Now, they had to play Texas Tech. They've played Utah. They've played teams that can run the ball. And so it's not just a weak spot. But if you can run the ball, you've been able to move the chains that way. The return of L.J. Martin could be a huge factor in that. the thing you've got to watch out for is that Arizona's defense gets a lot of sacks and a lot of interceptions. And so they're extremely disruptive to the passing game, which is why it's so important for the BYU running game to be able to reemerge and be more effective than it's been with all the injuries. Nothing against the younger guys that have come in at running back. They've done some very, very good things. But this is big boy football, and we're going to need, BYU is going to need, big boy running back production in order to keep the pressure off of the quarterback. Because as we know, Jake Retzlaff, when, you know, there's times when he can throw the ball to the other side if he's under pressure. Now, he's a lot better than at that this year, but let's not find out how much better he is by not being able to run the ball.
Trevor, you are a big part of college football media and what goes into that with your role at ESPN. There are clearly some big national spotlights on BYU right now because they're undefeated and they've got a big-time crew coming in to call their game on Saturday. So what would you say to BYU as they prepare at 5-0 with the increased national spotlight right now?
I would say just stay focused on the next play, the next rep. And that's what they've done such a good job of this year. But really, that's what it is. I mean, when you look at Miami last week, Miami had all the love and all the glory on them. They had a big comeback win over Virginia Tech, not this last week, but the week before they played Cal on Saturday. Their quarterback was being loved up on as a Heisman front runner, and deservedly so. College Game Day came to their following game, which was at Cal this last week. Game Day wasn't there because of the home team. They were there because of Miami. And all the while, you've got Cal lying in the weeds with a really disruptive defense, with a really good rushing attack, plotting ways to take Miami down, and they almost did it. The worst thing BYU could do over the course of their bye week would be to read the press clippings about how great they are. The best thing they can do, the only thing they can do, is focus on the next rep in practice and treat that rep like the national championship depended on how well they did that rep in practice, and just stack those together day after day. And then when they get to the game, same kind of thing. Don't just assume that, hey, you know, we're undefeated and Arizona's not and we're better and we're just going to win. No, they have to treat every play in that game as if that play, the national championship, dependent on it. And if they have that kind of focus, that kind of urgency, and if they take care of the football, then they'll be okay. So that's what I would tell them. Don't be thinking about how good you are right now. You be thinking about how you can get better in the next 1 minute.
Wise words from Trevor Maddich. As always, we appreciate the time during a busy season for you, Trevor. And we're so grateful to have you part of BYU Sports Nation each and every week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Thanks, ESPN's Trevor Maddich again on BYU Sports Nation. I like that answer.
Yeah.
Just try and make this a very, very minimum thing. Just focus on the next thing.
Which is what this team has proven through five games they can do. And here's the other part. I know what the Vegas line is. I'm just going to tell all the football players they're an underdog. That's all. Just go in with the underdog mentality.
Yeah, they're saying this, but you're still an underdog.
Yeah, you're an underdog. Just don't even pay attention to any of that stuff. Speaking of BYU football, how about hearing from the head coach? BYU football with Kalani Sitake returns tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. You can check it out on the BYU TV app.
Up next, how did all of the Cougars in the National Football League fare yesterday? We'll recap that and more from a wild weekend in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. Let's celebrate once again some of the most prominent wins, moments, and players in 100 seasons of BYU football by looking back on this date in Cougar football history. Jason, how far back will we travel today?
We're going to go back to the very first football game, October 7th, 1922. All the way back to the Roaring Twenties, I believe they call it. BYU played Utah State in Provo. Unfortunately, the Cougars lost 41-3. I'm not sure how I feel about us talking about a loss,
but it was the first ever game in program history. Here's BYU's only points were scored on a drop kick field goal. How about that? 1922 on this date, October 7th.
Listen, I don't like to talk about losses, but it was the first game ever.
It was the first one, so I get it.
There's historic significance to it. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football climbed three spots to number 14 in this week's AP poll. Despite being on a bye this week, BYU is the only team in the country that is 2-0 against current ranked teams. Cougars are also one of just 12 remaining undefeated teams in the nation. Now, BYU will be on the gridiron on Saturday, hosting Arizona. And yesterday, Fox announced that its national pregame show, Big Noon Kickoff, will be coming to Provo for Saturday's game. It's Big Noon Kickoff's first trip ever to Provo. The Cougars, currently a 3.5-point favorite, but don't tell them that because they play better as an underdog against the Wildcats. Saturday's game kicks off 4 Eastern on Fox and, of course, on BYU Radio.
On to Cougars in the NFL Part 1. Kyle Van Noy and the Baltimore Ravens get a win over the Cincinnati Bengals. Van Noy had 2 tackles. Ryan Rico, outstanding, punting the ball for the Bengals in that game, averaging 50.6 yards per kick and a long of 66, but had that little bit of a snafu on the hold on a potential game-winning field goal.
I felt so bad for him.
Fred Warner totaled 12 tackles with 1 tackle for loss for the 49ers in a 24-23 loss to Arizona. Kyrus Tonga had 2 tackles for the Cardinals in that win.
Elsewhere, Michael Davis had 1 tackle for the Commanders in a 34-13 win over the Browns. Washington, one of those surprise teams. Amazing what happens when you get a really good quarterback. Zane Anderson had 1 tackle for the Packers in a 24-19 win over the Rams. And Jamal Williams and the Saints play Kingsley Suamataia, Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs tonight in Monday Night Football. No Taysom Hill tonight against the Chiefs. He has been ruled out with a chest injury.
20th-ranked BYU women's volleyball drops its second straight match, falling in 3 sets to 15th-ranked Arizona State on Friday. With that setback, BYU drops to 2-2 in Big 12 play. The Cougars return to Provo for 2 more ranked matchups against number 14 Baylor and number 22 TCU this week.
BYU women's soccer fell to Arizona in Tucson on Saturday night, 2-1 the final score. BYU is now 3-2-1 in Big 12 games this season. The Cougars are back out on the pitch Thursday in Lawrence, Kansas, as they face the Jayhawks at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Good luck to BYU men's golf, who will begin competition at Big 12 match play in Houston today. The 3-day event begins with a head-to-head matchup against Houston this morning, and then West Virginia later this afternoon.
Congrats to Tanner Edwards of BYU Swim and Dive, who broke a BYU school record in the 50-meter fly with a time of 21.43, breaking teammate Jordan Tiffany's record that was set last season.
And congratulations to Daniel Schneeman and the Cleveland Guardians, who beat the Detroit Tigers in game 1 of their ALDS series, 7-0 game 2 tonight. After the break, fresh off a first-place finish at Notre Dame is Lexi Holiday-Lowry. She's back in Studio B, still with that winning mojo, and repping BYU women's cross-country. This is BYU Sports Nation.
That love is where good things happen.
Obviously, you feel very strongly about the team element, but you are the champion of the most recent race. So how do you balance the two of, like, wanting to win every race that you're in, but also that team element where you want to take first place as a team as well?
So yeah, the team is very important, but within that, everyone has a job. And so I view my job, like you said, to go in and race to the best of my ability. And for this race, that meant going and trying to win it. And I'm just so proud of my team, because it's so much easier to have success when you have women behind you who believe in you. And also, I believe so deeply in them that, like, if they can do their part, I'm going to do my part. And that's kind of what we've been building on this entire season.
Did you wake up feeling like, I'm going to win this today? Like, did you feel that? Because sometimes runners say that. Like, I woke up and I was like, I think I'm going to win today.
Yeah, our practice has been good. And talking to Coach T, she told me that, well, we knew that I was fit. And so, and we knew who was going to be at the race. And, yeah, going into that race, that was the goal. The goal was to win. Mm.
Well, talking about the team, as a team, you guys are the highest ranked Big 12 team right now. How are you guys feeling about the opportunity to be back-to-back Big 12 champions? How realistic is that for you guys?
Yeah, it's a tall order. I feel like it's on any given day, anything can happen. And so right now we're just trying to stay in the moment and go meet by meet and just build off of the momentum that we have. And yeah, when we get there, we'll show up and compete. And I mean, that's all you can really do. So yeah.
You were part of a team that won a national championship
Yes.
a few years back. And so with that in mind, I go back to something you said just a few minutes ago, which is this specific race at Notre Dame, it showed us what we're doing well and some of the things where we're a little deficient. So having that national championship pedigree and backdrop, knowing what it takes, what are you doing well and what are those specific areas you need to get better in?
The team has a lot of trust in Coach T. And I feel like as a runner, it can be very, very suffocating going into workouts and having such a good team. It's hard not to compare yourself to even like your teammates day in and day out. But having that trust in Coach Taylor and relying on the older women such as myself and a few of the other girls who have been to the highest level and won, it's just using that experience and just, yeah, and but cultivating it to the team we have now in order to chase big dreams.
Mm. What's up next for you guys? What's up next for you personally?
So we're going to pre-nats. We're just previewing the national course.
Okay, why is that? I mean, obviously you want to get a lay of the land and the track, but what does that do for you individually as a runner to run that course and understand, okay, this is where it really matters the most, you know, in a few weeks from now?
It's, like I said, it'll be another measuring stick to see what we need to do in the final few weeks for fine-tuning going into nationals, but it's also good to get on the course so that you can see the lay of the land. And I'm a big visualizer, and so being able to get on the course, see it, analyze how I felt on it, and then go from there and visualize it into what I would like to happen at nationals.
I just need an Oculus or like a MetaQuest. I'm visualizing you winning again, Lexi.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Congrats. On your success thus far on another win, and we wish you the best in pre-nationals.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Lexi Halliday-Lowry of fifth-ranked BYU women's cross country. After the break, it's time to put a bow on a very busy Monday show. A lot of hype, Jason. A lot of hype. And we're going to hype it up even more after this.
Brent, come on back for more of it.
BYUSN. Our poll question of the day is, which of the following is the biggest deal for BYU football right now and why? And winning the poll right now with 38% of the vote is BYU's strength of record, Jason, number one in the country as currently constituted.
Yeah, 38%.
Amazing. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Big noon kickoff coming to Provo. It's big in the name. Come on.
It's real.
It is. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be so much fun.
And it's spectacular. Our thanks to today's guests, ESPN's Trevor Maddich and Lexi Halliday-Lowry of BYU Women's Cross Country.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason Shepard, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Earl Kaufman. We'll see you tomorrow back here in Studio B. Go Cougs!